In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Look, experience, recognize, invite. Listen as I read an excerpt from today's gospel lesson again. Can you hear these four themes? Look, experience, recognize, and invite. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw, and they remained with him that day. One of the two was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus. John the Baptist told Andrew and another disciple to look at Jesus. They looked, they followed, and they experienced Jesus for the rest of the afternoon. In the course of that experience, they came to recognize Jesus as Messiah. And once he recognized Jesus, Andrew invited his brother Simon immediately to come and see for himself. I am really delighted to be able to speak to you today about this particular passage from John, because it serves as a thesis statement for the entire gospel. Have you ever noticed that we have a 3-year lectionary cycle and 4 gospels? You see, in year A, we read significant portions of the Gospel of Matthew. In year B, we read from Mark's gospel. In year C, which we just finished, we read from the Gospel of Luke. These three Gospels are often referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. It's a Greek word in its origin, syn meaning together, optic meaning look at. We probably recognize that one. So these three Gospels look at the story of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus in much the same way. They use similar images and similar words. So when we read these things year after year after year and get to the end of the 3rd year, we don't turn to John's gospel and spend a year there. The one writer who tells the story differently. So when do we read from John's gospel? Well, I looked, and it turns out there is some variation, but we read the opening chapter of John's gospel every year on Christmas Day, and we hear that a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We follow Jesus to the cross from John's gospel every year during Holy Week. And each year on Easter Sunday, we read the account of the resurrection from the Gospel of John. And we listen as Mary Magdalene announces to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord. Come and look." Finally, we read from the Gospel of John during the seasons of Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, and Epiphany. Do you notice this trend here? When we're preparing for and celebrating the deepest mysteries of our faith, the incarnation, the passion, the resurrection, in the seasons that follow those celebrations, when we're trying to figure out what does this mystery mean for our lives, we turn to the evangelist John, and he tells us the stories in new ways that reawaken our understanding and enliven our faith. When it comes to the most essential doctrinal aspects of our faith, we turn to John to help us find meaning. So here we are at just such a time. 3.5 weeks ago, we celebrated the incarnation, and we heard again from John's gospel that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And in these weeks following Christmas, we consider, what does this great mystery mean? John the Evangelist has a very clear answer for us, and it has something to do with these four verbs: look, experience, recognize, and invite. Today, we meet John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River. Just last week, we heard the story that John baptized Jesus. Do you remember what happened? As Jesus came up out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." I wonder who else saw and heard that day. It's clear from the way the story is told that the heavens opened to Jesus and that Jesus saw the Spirit descending. But the account of Jesus' baptism doesn't tell us whether anyone else saw the heavens open, saw the Spirit come down, or heard the voice of God. Today's lesson, though, sheds some light on that question. "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him," says John the Baptizer. "I myself didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain baptizes with the Spirit.'" John the Baptist is a model disciple in the Gospel of John. He spent time in prayer learning about God's will, God's plans for the world, and he knew the promise, "You will see the Spirit descend and remain on one, and that one will baptize with the Spirit." God told John the Baptist, "Look for this," and he looked, and he saw. In the experience of baptizing Jesus, he recognized him as God incarnate, as Messiah. And having experienced the incarnate Word personally, John could not keep silent. Instead, he invited others to come. "Behold," he said. That means, "Look. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, John the Baptist isn't the only model disciple in our reading today. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, also models Christian discipleship for us. He spent time sitting at the feet of his teacher, John, getting to know God, getting to know God's plans for the world. Hearing his teacher proclaim Jesus as the Lamb of God, Andrew looked at Jesus and followed him and experienced the love of God for himself. And through that experience, he was transformed and recognized Jesus as God incarnate. In his joy, he ran and invited his brother to come. Look, experience, and recognize. And it happens again. In the passage that comes right after the one we read today, Jesus travels to Galilee and meets Philip. "Follow me," he says. And Philip does, and immediately finds Nathanael and says, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. It's Jesus. Come and see." This pattern of looking, experiencing, recognizing, and inviting takes place throughout the Gospel of John. After church today, go home, turn to chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. When Jesus engages her in conversation, she responds. Not every woman, not every Samaritan woman would have actually engaged in a conversation with a man at this time, especially a Jewish man. But she does, and as she speaks to Jesus, she looks upon him. And he begins to tell her about her life, and she experiences something transformative and begins to recognize who he is. And at the end of their conversation, she leaves her water jar at the well. Think about what that means to leave your water jar behind when you live in the desert. And she runs to the town and says to everyone she can find, "Come and meet a man who told me everything about myself. He couldn't be the Messiah, can he?" She looks, she experiences, she recognizes, and she invites. A similar pattern takes place in chapter 9 of John's Gospel with the man who is born blind. There, Jesus enables this man to look at the beginning of the story. And at first, after he's healed, the man does not understand this experience he's had. People ask him, "What happened?" And he says, "This man, Jesus, healed me." But as he confronts the Jewish leaders who don't understand, who can't recognize who Jesus is, we see his understanding awakened, and we watch as he recognizes what has taken place in his life. These Jewish authorities say, "This man must be a sinner." And the man who has been healed says, "I don't know if he's a sinner, but this I do know. I was blind, and now I see. If this man were not from God, if he were not the Messiah, he could do nothing." So this pattern of looking, experiencing, recognizing, and inviting, it's been repeated by Christians throughout the centuries. This pattern is what transformed Saul, persecutor of Christians, into Paul, missionary to the Gentiles. It transformed Roman Emperor Constantine from the pagan leader of a nation that persecuted and killed Christians into one who presided over councils of bishops from throughout his Christian empire. And this pattern is the reason that you and I are here today. Someone else looked and experienced the love of Jesus, and in that process recognized him as Lord and invited us to come. It could have been your mother, your daughter, your wife, son, a friend, but each and every one of us have been invited to come to God because of someone else's experience. This is the proper response to the incarnation. And John wants us to understand that this is what Christian discipleship looks like. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," says John, Andrew, Philip, the Samaritan woman, the man born blind, Paul, Constantine, and countless Christians throughout the centuries. Now, as Episcopalians, I think we often do a great job at looking at Jesus and experiencing Jesus. I hope that in our liturgy and in our devotional lives, we come to recognize him as Lord of our lives. I think too often we forget that part of looking and experiencing and recognizing the place of God in our lives is inviting others to come and see our Lord. Tomorrow, we will remember the life and work of another person who fits this model of Christian discipleship offered by John the Evangelist. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spent time in prayer and discernment, getting to know God and God's plans for salvation of the world. He looked upon Jesus and experienced Jesus and recognized Jesus as Lord of his life, and then shared Jesus with others. Dr. King may have said, "I have a dream," but listen again to the dream he shared. "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh shall see it together." Dr. King may have spoken in the first person about his dream, but that dream was firmly rooted and nurtured in God's vision for God's world. having looked on Jesus, experienced transformation by Jesus, and recognized him as Messiah, listen to what Dr. King shared. With our faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Dr. King, in seeking freedom for all, was surely familiar with Jesus' words to his disciples, recorded in the Gospel of John. To those who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Let us not simply look at and experience and recognize Jesus as Lord of our lives. My brothers and sisters, if we are to be the disciples that Jesus calls us to be, we must invite others to come and see the Messiah so that they can be transformed as we have been. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that we, your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine like John the Baptist, Blessed Andrew, and Dr. King, with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.